Good evening, everyone. This is Veronica Entwistle. Who are you? This is Radiance by Design, which, as most of you know, is a call-in show. I would love to chat with you, and so do my guides and angels want to talk to you. We do energy work around questions, help you unhook some stuff that's keeping you from making the great shift yourself, or the stuff that's coming up in the flotsam and jetsam of your history as the universal flows and frequencies continue to amp up change. How many of you know about the Mayan calendar? I guess all of you, huh? And it's supposed to be ending pretty soon, according to Carl Kalaman and Barbara Han Clow. It's ending this month, actually, or the final phases are flowing through this month. The way I understand it is the Mayans knew how to write and construct their calendar, not according to just 24-hour bites, but more about humongous flows of energy, of frequencies through the universe, and what kind of consciousness would come through with those flows of energy. And the energies, these humongous flows, are moving through and really apparently in big waves, and they're changing how we as a collective think and feel. So we've been a pretty bloodthirsty group, haven't we? Very defensive and afraid of each other. And holy mackerel, it's been a really big journey from the dinosaurs on up to here. And we still have our reptilian brain, which is often functioning like we're dinosaurs as we go off and kill everybody and steal their land and kill for oil or whatever we're doing. Anyway, we all know that that's going on, but the big shift is apparently these downloads of consciousness are going to make it easier and easier for us to shift deep within and open up to loving one another and open up to another really humongous reality, which is, as a species, we're all basically one being, and we have all these amazing presentations. Depends who you read and how they talk about it, but my understanding is that we all have a fleck of divinity within, and divinity, God, whoever, creator, spirit, whatever you want to call it, expresses itself in infinite ways through each of us. And I feel like this is what I think I understand, and I've been on the path so long, I'm never really sure if what I believe is going to maintain itself, because growing is like that, isn't it? You have to doff certain belief structures in order to let the bulb of your growth pop through you in the springtime. But in any case, it seems to me that our dharma, our personal journey, links up with the dharma, or the deep, purposeful journey of the collective. So we have our personal journey and the collective, and the intense divinity that each of us has, which makes us highly capable of creating a reality. It's something that belongs to Source, and it's something that we all share in a way. So we have different ways of presenting our power in the world, and some of us thwart it and dull it and damp it down with our defenses and so on. We all have different ways, but ultimately and essentially, we're all one. So it's been kind of fascinating to me to watch the Mayan calendar Führer building up speed, to feel in my body, mind, and I'm sure you all feel this as well, the absolute rising of the frequencies through our bodies. It's really hard to imagine that today is only 24 hours long, because it feels like it might have been 20 minutes long sometimes. Any of you feel that the speed up is like that? The frequencies are moving faster and faster in you. And in me, and we've said this a lot, but apparently if you run into somebody who was alive 200 years ago and they saw you today, they'd think that you're shimmering light, because our frequencies have moved up so much. And just even from 2-3 years ago, our frequencies have moved up hugely. So we look a lot lighter now than we did a couple of years ago, which tells you that we're getting a little bit more, I wouldn't say gossamer, but we're much more able to transform, to change, to turn ourselves inside out, in the sense, I don't mean literally, but in the sense of finding out what kind of karmic stuff What kind of subconscious drives you into the world? What do you keep slamming up against that's your karma and so on? With the rising frequencies and with that comes an awakening in our consciousness that we are all one. And as we rise like that, and as the frequency rise, the frequencies rise, we are much more able to dig in, pull up some of our subconscious traps, some of our intense karmic or lineage programs or just cellular structure that we inherited from whatever or from reactions that we created in this lifetime. We're much more capable right now of bringing these things up, taking a look at them, and letting them go. How many tools have you learned about these days for absolutely bringing up and neutralizing the kinds of things that have kept you kind of cemented in patterns with people? Initially, I was going to talk about relationship tonight because we did have relationship aficionados, Barry and Joyce Vassell, on Paradigm Shifters on Tuesday night. But, you know, I realize as I think about the Mayan calendar and I think about this shift in consciousness and I think about oneness and all these different reflections of source energy and our ability to pull up some of the most entrapping subconscious programs, it really is about relationship, isn't it? It's about our relationship with ourself and all that is. So I want to talk to you about that tonight, and I'm really hoping that a number of you are going to call in with questions about your life, comments about the Mayan calendar, comments about oneness. I've been kind of re-involved, as I was years ago, but re-involved with more vigor in the oneness movement right now, which I think goes together with the Mayan shift. And golly, I feel like I'm talking up and down all the facets of a multifaceted diamond here, so if you get a little bit lost, maybe I will too. But you could call in and straighten me out and help me focus on what's really crucial in your world. So I'll have you call in after we've done our meditation. For those of you who are new, welcome, join us. I like to start off with a meditation back into oneness. I love doing a meditation with all of you who are listening because it really brings us into vibrational community together, doesn't it? Shared intentions, we share some of the visions in it, and we certainly share the frequencies in it, and we share the guidance as we do it. So we are community whilst we're doing our meditation. So let's get going on it. This will take about 10 minutes or so for those of you who aren't used to doing it, but join us because it's really empowering. And these are tools that you can use anytime when you feel like your balance or your center is slipping away. Or as the economic stuff gets weirder and weirder, you might find that your bank balances are slipping away. And we need to center, no matter which economic or physical or energetic system, political system, is coming apart or seeming to crumble, we need to find a way to center ourselves, bring our light up through, and really love ourselves, and then work to create intentionally the reality that we want to perceive. So that's a big job, but we can do it. We're going to use some sacred geometrics and do that tonight together. So close your eyes. Unless you're on the edge of a cliff. Take a couple of deep breaths. And let's call in the presence of the higher. Let's call in the presence of divinity and of our mutual connection to source. And now above your head, about 2 miles, see there a golden ball. And now below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And now drop a four-sided pyramid down from the upper golden ball to about waist height, maybe 40 feet out. And then upside down, meeting it point to point, another golden pyramid, and its peak hooks into the lower golden ball. So there you are, you're inside an octahedron, an eight-sided figure with a golden ball at the top and a golden ball at the bottom. And in that golden ball, create a crystal ball. And that not in that golden ball, in that octahedron, create a crystal ball, and the outside edges of your crystal ball touch the inside edges of your octahedron. And I love this crystal ball because it always seems to be shimmering these amazing iridescent colors. And inside of that, see a star tetrahedron, that's a three-dimensional Star of David, and you're inside of that. And you've got this wonderful filament of light rushing from the upper golden ball right down through your entire spine into the lower golden ball. So there you are on a filament string. Outside is a star tetrahedron, and then beyond that is a crystal ball, and outside of that is your octahedron. What a complicated picture, but it's beautiful. And now start to spin in your star tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin. Good. And as you spin, see on the screen in front of you, we have a magical screen. And in the first section of the screen, you're going to create a movie of what you want to become. And I always say the same thing. I'd love to become multidimensional. I'd love to be consciously multidimensional, moving dimensions at any given time and being conscious of what I'm doing. And I also want to come from the heart. What is it you want to be when you grow up? The other thing is, I'm not sure I'm going to grow up in this lifetime, but we'll see. Yeah, what is it you'd like to be? And we see ourselves becoming that, and we're really pleased as we become that and see yourself smiling and enjoying what it is you've constructed yourself to be. And then wrap that in light so it continues to fuel itself. And besides that, there is the second screen, and on that screen, create a little movie about what it is you want to create. I always wanted to do a television series, and I've started it, but I've had some lapses in time and focus. So let's just see it happening. All the pieces, see yourself, whatever it is you want to create. It could be home and family. It could be a book. It could be an outfit. It could be a world travel. It could be multidimensional travel. Who cares? Whatever it is you want, see yourself. And see all the resources you need to create your dream. For me, all the resources to create the television series. Good. And then see all of the product of your dream coming together. And feel the happiness that you feel. Whoa, that was a struggle, but I did it. Yay. And then see all the resources it takes, whether it's money, people, places, things, whatever that it takes to sustain your dream. Good work. Okay. And now wrap that in light and move it over to the right. And now we're creating the Galactic Healing Center. There's a beautiful healing table, and around it, your invisible team of support. These are your healing guides, and they come from all kinds of levels of dimensions. Yes, and they're here to do healing work. And now you're the first person that jumps in on that table. In you go, up, up on the table. What is it you want to be healed? That's right. You might have an idea of what it is you want, or your team might have the idea. So if you don't know quite what it is you want, ask them. They'll tell you. If you do know what you want, tell them. They'll respond to you. And then you lie on the table and let them work on you. What is it they do? That's it. What is it that they do? Okay. All right. I hear, do you hear little words from them? They'll tell you things that you need to do. Aha, they're showing me where I hold my fear. What are they showing you? Fear is a really intense restraint or resistance, isn't it? It sits in a part of your body, or it sits in several parts of your body and holds things back. So they're telling me to release my fear. It's not necessary. And those densities can create some of the predictions that come up. You don't want to do that. Good work. And when you feel like something is going on, thank you to your team. All right, wrap that in light and move it over to the right. Remember, when we wrap it in light and leave it over to the right, it gets to stew there. It gets to keep working. And now have the team replicate themselves around a fresh table. Yeah, and let's bring someone in. Now, I have a friend who's just gotten a really healthy dose of shingles, and it was really hard to figure out what was going on with her. She had an excruciating pain, and it was misdiagnosed several ways. And she ended up having a night in the hospital. And her sodium was down. She was becoming excruciatingly in pain. So we're just bringing her in now. They've diagnosed that it's shingles. And we're asking her team or our team to work on her and give us some information to pass on to her. Or maybe you're listening tonight and you're getting the information yourself. But what I'm seeing with the shingles is this woman has been containing herself in such a way as to feel always self-sufficient, and it feels cold in there. She feels stressed, cold, dynamic, creative, but unsupported in a lot of ways. And so they're asking her to release that tension that makes her feel smaller inside. Release that tension. And then they're shooting a lot of energy up through her second chakra and her solar plexus. Good work. Mm-hmm. That's right. And they're just filling her body with this wonderful violet fire and burning up some of this so she feels warm and absolutely loved. One more time, warm and absolutely loved. And now let's wrap that in light and move it over to the side. Good. And now we're going to call in a new replication of this healing team and a new table. And you know what? I have a really good friend, and he's very young. He's only 40 years old, and he just had a heart attack, for heaven's sakes. And we can kind of guess what led to it. Some of it would be about nutritional deficiencies because he was body bulking. And some of it is because he's a man who's very strong, but he's also acutely sensitive, and he has not been nurturing his sensitivity. So there's this conflict inside, and it's creating pressure. So he's under a great deal of pressure, and all of a sudden, ba-doing, he falls over with a heart problem. And it's very interesting because talk about the shift. We're watching this young man who's now got a stent in his heart and has to have another one. We're watching him turn inside and really discover his sensitivity. And I'll tell you something, your sensitivity is your greatest strength. But especially guys, but most of us don't learn to revere it when we're young. We have to kind of get into it sometimes in a difficult way, you know. And that's what this friend of mine is doing, is going into it in a rather challenging experience and hopefully coming up with. Thanks for your call. If you could just wait till the end of the meditation, I'd appreciate it. And so this friend is having a wonderful surgery and all that, but I know this, that he's going to come up with an extremely powerful sensitivity, a kindness, and some of the stresses that he's been under in terms of relationship, back to relationship, are going to ease because he's going to be more attuned to what he himself really is and feel the love of self. And as they work with him, good, they're pulling out a lot of old beliefs from his belly area and from his frontal lobes. So we'll talk to him and find out how he's feeling, but he looks like he's getting much more peaceful. So let's wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now let's do our political scenario. I bet you all know what I'm going to do. We're bringing in a table. We're having the team replicate themselves and bring in higher and higher realms, each one of them bringing in realm after realm of consciousness. And let's bring in the whole Occupy Wall Street fracas that's going on in this country. And it's going on with sympathy all over the world, because, of course, that's having an impact all over the world. Let's bring that in and bring those who are actually working on Wall Street in as well. So we have these teams of people. And let's infuse them all with love and support. Because like my friend who had the heart attack, it's about opening our hearts and not having a defensive stance about money and so on. It doesn't mean just throw it all over the place. It means stop being so tense about it. And let's consider that we're all one and we all come from the same source. There we are. Now call in that amazing salmon pink radiant energy. Have it come in through the top of your head, flood into your heart, move out your arms and hands, and see your hands directing this amazing energy through all these people. Just absolutely fill them with this energy of sharing and heart and love. And send that energy to all the different hot spots on our planet. That's right. Where there have been strange contracts about money, and about apportioning off countries because of the resources they have. Let's just flood it all with a harmonizing energy and pat it into those places that you know have been especially aggrieved at this time. And now send that beautiful healing energy round and round and round your planet until it flows into your hands, up your arms, back into your heart, floods your entire body and your head. Good. And now let's close off the Galactic Healing Center. Jump back into your star tetrahedron. And now spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And then we come back into the room together. Welcome to Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. We're going to work with you and my guides and angels, and we're going to talk about whatever we want. And we have a caller on the line. That's wonderful. Hello. Thank you for waiting. I hope you did.
Hi. Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry.
I knew you were giving the meditation, and I came knocking.
That's okay. I was really delighted that you're there. What's your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. What's going on in your world?
Well, I have a question about love life.
Okay.
I don't know if you can give me some insight, but I've met up with an old friend that I haven't seen in many years, and we've always just been friends, but now he lives actually right around the corner from me, so we see each other a lot more. And so I guess my question is what's going to transpire with that? Because there's this interesting exchange that's happening that's never really happened before. I'm just curious.
Is he married?
Oh, no.
Good. No. Okay. But there's a woman there's a woman there, not in his, I don't know whether it's somebody he hasn't gotten over yet. It might be that.
Well, he does live with his sister. I don't know if you're picking up on her. Just throwing that out there.
I think that he's attracted to you, honey. But
yeah,
I think there's
a
confusion in him. There's a confusion in him about trust, and there's somebody that he was hurt by or that has complicated his ability to just move forward on it. But there's a special kind of alignment between the two of you. It's not just an accident. Yeah.
I know, I get it. It's so weird. I'm like, why are we so comfortable with just each other? I mean, we haven't seen each other in years.
Well, remember this, Michelle, is that you're not who you used to be, and he's not who he used to be. But he's not quite out of whatever it was he was, so he still has some. So you might find as you're together, and it seems like your unity is really almost affirmed, and it seems like he pulls back sometimes and you get confused. Well, it's just because he hasn't finish that conflict yet, you know? He's afraid, you know?
Got you. Well, I should just let that sit for a while because I don't want to get in the mix of that sort of thing.
Well, you know something, Michelle, and everybody at home, in relationships are always a little bit mixed. And because that's our learning curve, isn't it? You kind of get together and then start pulling, tweaking at the stuffing so that they can spill a bit and we can then transform because we're in this shift. And I really feel like there's something very important for both of you in this. But you'll have to ride it like a, you're going to be in a relationship soon. I don't know if it's him or someone else. But in any case, you have to ride it like a friend and not be at all impatient or hasty or demanding because it's like a pie. You can't rush it into baking or a cake.
Oh, yeah.
You can't rush
it. Definitely.
But he loves you in his way. There's a really deep affection between the two of you already.
Really bizarre, but yeah, it is. It's very true.
isn't that nice for you?
It is, and yet it's a little bit like, what is this? But yes, it's refreshing. I'll say that.
Well, I also think that, you know, for him, if we look at it from his perspective, is it's really, what would we say, an eye-opener? Because of your connection with him, you both have the chance to become, this for him is more shocking than it is for you, he has the chance mm-hmm. to become really sensitive and awake to his sensitivity. And that's like steering his ship in rather turbulent waters for him. But it will be very successful. He's extremely artistic, you know.
Oh, yeah. Very.
Yeah. And as he awake, you'll see him. I guess I want to say to you, it's a very much two souls meeting again in order to awaken further. So if you separated from him tomorrow, you've both already gained a lot. I'm not saying you're going to separate from him, but there's something really important in this relationship for both of your growth and for your awakening.
Very true, because I've already learned a lot just by hanging out with him. He's a very, very social person, and I'm like, oh, is that how you do it? Because I'm a very hermited person, and so it's like I'm learning just from hanging out with him.
Well, my reading on and predictions are meant to be played with, especially now when the frequencies are just tap dancing everywhere. But it looks like you're going to be in a wonderful relationship very soon, whether it's him or this other fellow. That doesn't have to be decided on the radio right now. What's that?
I said you don't get a look at who that could be. You don't see that face up there.
I was trying to get his social security number for you. I can't seem to bring that in. I can't bring the lottery. Anyway, I would say to you, pull up all your fears and release them. Pull them up and hand them over because you're going through a really wild personal releasing of past stuff, change time, and good for you.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
All right, honey. You have to keep us posted now. We're expecting to hear back in a few weeks.
I'll let you know what happens.
Thank you for your call, Michelle.
Thanks, Veronica.
All right. Now, for any of the rest of you, call in. Let's have some fun tonight. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. What do you think about the Wall Street thing, about Occupy Wall Street? What do you think about relationships? What do you think about the shift? What do you think about the Mayan calendar and the oneness business? The oneness that I'm talking about is called, sometimes it's called the Diksha, and sometimes it's called Oneness Blessings. And if you look it up online, you'll find Oneness Blessings University over in India. And the idea is, a lot of you know, people listening to this show know a fair amount about spiritual matters, I believe. But over in India, there's Bhagavan and Amma have created this system. If you go way back, and I've been doing interviews and learned a lot about this, that if you go way back to the Vedas, way back to scriptures that were the basis for yoga and so on, they talk a lot about oneness. And then we know that many of the Indian gurus will reach out with their eyes, with their hands, with their heart, and send, do energy transmissions to people. This isn't new. This is thousands of years old. And it's, sometimes it's called Shaktipat. It's usually called transmissions anyway. So in the oneness, Bhagavan said that, and Amma said that, they had been given permission by Creator Spirit to bring through very high frequency consciousness. And so they bring it through and they pass it on. So they put their hands on your head, and then that energy, that high Christ consciousness energy, moves through the head and goes right into the brain. There's a woman named Saima, S-A-I-M-A-A, and she does Diksha, or Oneness Blessings. And on her website, if you go into about the fourth click or whatever, the fourth page or something, she shows what happens to the brain when they do these energy transmissions. Because what happens is it catalyzes a huge shift in people's brains so that they're able to hold a real high consciousness energy. So it's called like passing on, taking some and passing on awakening. And the goal is to awaken as many beings as possible at this time during the great shift on the planet. And if enough of us awaken, and how many of you have heard this kind of talk, is that we create our reality. We're sitting on the same couch. What you're doing inside of your mind and your energy field, you might be sitting beside me, you're doing one thing, I'm doing another, and we're creating our realities, and they can be very different from each other, even though we're sitting on the same couch, you understand? So that unique relationship with spirit, with Creator Spirit, with divinity is a personal thing and helps you, helps me absolutely unravel the mystery of our own transcendence. So that's what the oneness stuff is all about. One of the people that I like learning from for the Mayan calendar, that was a lot of information. I'm jumping right on to dump some more information at you, so you might want to call in just to change the subject here. But the information, one of the people that I love to study, oh, goody, you've got me interrupted so I don't have to go through all this. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. This is Debbie calling from Sela.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Well, I'm a lot better. I'm a lot better.
Good girl.
And I want to thank you for the reading that you did on Saturday for me.
Oh, my pleasure. And you look better. Actually, your stomach is much better.
Yes, it is.
And your brain.
It is. Yes.
I think your IQ must have gone up 20 notches, too.
Oh, good.
I don't really know that. I'm just teasing you, but I see your brain is much clearer.
Oh, that's really, thank you. I appreciate that. During our reading, you were talking about that I have a dog that follows me around. Do you happen to know what breed of dog?
It looks like it's, now for people at home, this is an intuitive thing, right? And he looks like he's puppyish in his behavior. He looks like he's about, maybe, are you tall, Debbie? How tall are you?
I'm only about 5'5".
Okay, so it's around your knee height, just maybe a little higher. His back is a little bit, his back is a little higher than your knees. Looks like he's a golden color, and he's got the cutest face, like, you know that kind of dog whose ears are bent over? Yeah, he's just a really handsome guy. His nose isn't very long. His face is just adorable, like he would cock his head one way or the other. He just looks like a really perky, golden-colored dog. I know he's not really a puppy, but he likes to move around like a puppy. I think it's a boy person.
Yeah, the dog I believe is a golden retriever that I didn't ever own. He was he belonged to my chiropractor, and he died here just recently. And when I walked by
That's him.
The empty
What's
pen,
his name?
His name is Harry.
Is he funny?
I think he is, yeah.
I think this is Harry. He doesn't look exactly like a golden retriever, but, you know, my visions aren't usually photographic.
Right, right.
But you and he have a special essence connection. You have a very powerful soul journey with him, my darling.
Yeah, that's what I experienced with him. I've never had a major third eye experience, and I did with him on my chiropractor's property, and then I drove home, and he popped out of the car with me, and I went over to the mailbox, and then by the time I walked back across the street, I lost the vision of him. But that
he's a wonderful,
you know,
spirit.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Well, I think he's.
But
it
was,
okay. He's your buddy. He's your.
He's my buddy. Oh. Well, that's really cool.
It brings tears to my eyes. He wants to be with you.
Yeah. Yeah. We were at dinner one night at their house, and he was very not feeling well at all that night, and he just looked at me and he said, "I have to go. I just have to go." And I got so depressed. It was almost like it ruined the evening, you know, with my friends. But on the other hand, I mean, I really felt there was a connection of soul.
Oh, yeah, he's just around you all the time. But I feel like,
wow.
are you considering bringing a dog into your life? Because I think he wants to come in.
Huh. Well, what's funny is Doctor had a golden retriever show up at his house. And that dog is like wonderful. So I'm wondering if that's how he's coming into my life.
You just watch, because this dog is just going to sidle up to you and want to be with you, and you'll just chuckle and go, "Okay, I got it." You know, because you love animals, and you need, for some reason, Debbie, you have a fragility about you, and you're going to take some big intuitive jumps. And to have a dog around you is going to be very, very stabilizing for you.
Oh, okay.
So you could call it a cellular lineup, you know?
Uh-huh.
I like that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's exciting. I'm not sure how the cats will like it.
Well, you better talk to his spirit right now and say, make sure that the cats are acclimated by the time you get here, okay?
Right.
He can do that.
Yeah.
He can be a cat whisperer from the other side, you know?
Okay.
Because it really is going to be lovely for you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So
that was something that, you know, I should have asked you, you know, but we didn't have a lot of time.
Well, you asked just fine, and I think it's an interesting subject because we're talking. You know, I was just about to launch into the Mayan calendar thing, and what we keep learning is that we have to be in touch on many dimensions, you know, and the change and the shift include, a lot of people are going to pass, but, I mean, they're not gone. They just, you know what I mean? We're learning a lot about death isn't the end, and there's a lot of things ongoing, and you've got this amazing spirit coming with you. I'm going, huh, not that you're dying, but you know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah.
He's running around with you, girl.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Have a blast.
He gave me one of my best psychic experiences, so that was really exciting.
Well, because he's really bonded with your soul.
Yeah. Oh, I'm touched.
You don't hate that. Thank you for your call, Debbie.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Good night. Anyway, I'm going to go into, that was a good call too, so call in. I love it when you call. So I'm talking about my favorite Mayan calendar person. I haven't studied a whole bunch of them, but a little bit. And Carl Kalman is really quite the guru. He's a Swedish doctor. He's, I believe, an oncology researcher, cancer researcher. But in any case, he got into studying the Mayan calendar. He also does oneness, Diksha stuff as well. But he's talking about how at this point on the planet, and when I've had him on my Paradigm Shifters show several times, three or four times now, I think. Anyway, he was telling us a year or so ago, I don't know how long it's been, that the frequency speed up was going to multiply 20 times over the last year, and I think it's really happening. I don't know if you all get the buzz that I do, or that if you're letting yourself feel it, or some of you are really conscious of the buzz coming through as the energy speed up. So anyway, he's talking about how between the 11th and 28th of October, we're now at the 13th, I believe. Are we at the 13th? In any case, he's saying that this is a huge time with a huge, a tremendous frequency increase in the world. He said it's really bringing, it's creating a lot of coming apart of the economic systems. Ha, you notice that? Talking about the Wall Street thing, that people are just not putting up with it. Here's a line that he gave us. It's really good. This is an article that he wrote called The End of the Mayan Calendar, Solar Flares and Earth Changes. He's talking about this being the end times of the Mayan calendar thing. But I like this. He says this is what's happening with the changing times out there in the universe and the changing fields in our collective consciousness. It says the mental framework within which people have understood the world is eroding, and this, as much as the actual course of events, is a sign of our times. Some reject the meaningfulness of mental understanding altogether. So what he's basically saying is that we're going to wake up and we're going to change. We don't trust what's being taught to us. We don't trust the intellectual reasoning that's being marketed or lobbied to us. And so people are just not listening. And I heard that things are shifting also from this time of information. You know, it's been the information age to the intuition age. So here we had Debbie calling in about the dog. She's moving very swiftly into being more and more and more intuitive. How many of you out there are doing that? How many of you are really conscious of being able to trust your inner messages as opposed to the newspaper or whatever? Call in and talk to me. I want to talk to you. Okay, so many have had, let's see here, I'm going to look at this. The economy may be the best mirror of how humans relate to one another. And this is the time that this is happening. It's the fact that when the so-called markets were truly started to be affected by the global loan crisis, which has since, with every new shift point of the ninth wave, continued to deepen. We're in the ninth wave right now. So that whole thing is really amazing. And he even goes so far as to say one of the things that might happen with the economic shift being like it is in the countries that are falling to their knees and the lack of trust and the amount of corruption, he says that one of the greatest solutions would be if all debts were absolved. Can you imagine that? All over the world. Goody, you called in. And he also said, I'll just finish this line, he also said, maybe what will happen is not only will all international debts be, you know, neutralized, forgiven, but so will our visas and mortgages and all that kind of stuff as one-on-one person. So we'll see what happens. So you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Veronica. This is Tom. And
hi, Tom.
This is the first time I've listened to the show or heard of you or anything, and right away you're talking two of my favorite subjects, the Wall Street thing and the Mayan calendar, and so I'm stoked.
Well, you just might be in the right pew.
I don't know. I follow the planks as they are laid out in front of me, and that's pretty much how I found you, and I just keep stepping on the planks as they come.
Oh, perfect. So do you have a question for us? You can do some healing work, right?
Yeah, the Mayan calendar thing, you know, is so interesting. And one of the things that's so interesting about it is so many interpretations of actually what's trying to be conveyed by the you know, those interpretations of the calendar. I lived down there for quite a while. I lived in a little village called Ahuacatenango. It was a Mayan village outside in the hills around San Cristobal de la Casa in southern Mexico. And, of course, Spanish was their second language. They spoke Mayan, and which was very difficult for me to comprehend, almost Oriental in a way.
Oh, really?
But my understanding, the Mayans are actually passers on of this calendar that they actually received from the old Olmec people on the eastern side of Mexico, and of course most of that culture has been wiped out by the oil rigs that were placed there and the refineries, and so we have hardly anything from that culture except the fact that they probably originated the calendar, and the only art we have left from them are these giant Negroid heads that they keep finding in the jungle, which really adds to the whole mystery. But the calendar, according to, I mean, the way I understand it, is a measurement. Well, it was a measurement for them of periods, of cycles of civilization, and that was something like it would measure, I don't know, 5,300 and some odd year cycles. And they
but
were
don't,
so
didn't
accurate.
Those cycles embody a certain kind of consciousness?
I think so. But there's no definitive answers. I mean, I read the Popol Vuh looking for some insight into that, and really didn't. I didn't get the feeling, you know, that I wanted, the understanding that I wanted of what their message was. But I never got the impression that they were predicting the end of anything more. The beginning of another cycle, which would be the fifth, I believe, which this period of this month, or it could be next year on the 21st of December, as being the end of the fourth cycle, the beginning of the fifth cycle. They could actually date back to the beginning of civilization or of mankind, of humanity, in their calendar back 195,000 years. They could pinpoint the day, the hour, the minute.
Well, what do you think was the pulse of the fourth or the fifth one? Like, what do you think? Do you think it was about free will?
I think we're in the midst of this whole vibrational, I hate that word, change.
I live with it all the time.
I bet. I think what really struck me last winter was this whole Arab Spring kind of thing that was going on. And I was blown away by the fact that, gosh, you know, mankind is still actually evolving in spite of all the repressive systems that are heaped against the species. It's progressing. Still, it's maturing even more rapidly than I ever would have imagined. That's why I'm so tuned in to the Wall Street thing, because I'm looking at these folks, these young guys and gals, and I'm just in awe of, first of all, their ability to maintain a peaceful, almost Gandhian uh, reality amongst themselves, in spite of the diversity. And you know, to me, that's just unbelievable to watch.
But it is heartwarming. Very heartwarming.
Oh, it brings tears to my eyes. When I was marching back 40-some-odd years ago, protesting the Vietnam War and stuff, well, I mean, back then they were killing us, you know. They were brutally attacking us in the streets, and it was really unbelievable turmoil. I went from one combat zone to another just coming back to this country, and you know, in the 43 years that I've been an activist, a peace activist, an anti-war activist, you can look around and see how successful that's been. But
it's rising again, Tom.
It is, and it just blows me away. It's the most beautiful thing I've seen in, I can't even think of how long it's been.
Wow, and I have to say goodbye only because we're going to get hooked off stage here right now.
Oh, shucks, I didn't mean to ramble on like that.
No, you did a great job.
Well, I'll be talking to you because we're already emailing, so...
I'm so glad you called in, and I love what you had to say, and you've given us food for thought, so call in again next week.
Okay, thanks a lot, Veronica.
Take care, Tom. Well, that was a nice rounding up of a lot of brilliant ideas there, and it is true, the Wall Street people are very, very, inspiring to me. I try to be on the virtual site fairly often and support as much as I can. I haven't been out to the streets yet, but gosh knows that's coming, hey? This is Veronica Entwistle saying, if you like a session with me, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. And don't forget to stay tuned at the top of the hour for Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness, and we'll find out what processes Jackie's going through and what her team has to say. We love it when she channels the team as well. She's a pithy character. And then, Paradigm Shifters on Tuesday night should be really interesting. Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, I'll be interviewing Bob Frizzell, who wrote Nothing in This Book is True, But That's the Way It Is Anyway, or something like that. I haven't quite got the total. It's not a new book. It's got its 15th anniversary republication going on, but it should be a pretty exciting interview. He's a very, very interesting, groundbreaking character, Bob Frizzell. You can look him up and check out some YouTube. And we'll let you go tonight. Many, many thanks for tuning in. Many blessings.